Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello, people of Earth.
People of Earth, Hucklebug Nation. Welcome
to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny, and it's episode 701 of the Hucklebug.
701, a new era after
yes.
Our last big-ass show. We
That's
now
right.
Both have new timers.
That's right. Brand new, the new timer, the official timer of the Hucklebug. It's from timeanddate.com.
It's a whole new world.
A whole new world.
And we'll see what happens when the time ends.
We have no idea. It's gonna make some crazy sound.
We may not hear that big old bell.
That's we won't. This is the point. I don't think you guys are gonna hear it at all. I think Bet and I are gonna hear it in our ears, but I don't think it's gonna be audible to the Hucklebug listener, and that's the key point, because that fucking cuckoo clock that's been going off on my phone for the last million episodes is no good. But don't worry, you'll never hear it again, because we've got new timers. No shout-outs. We got rips. We got to do rips
first.
Rips first,
and boy, two hard-ass rips.
Yeah, these are pretty epic in terms of
I kind of forgotten that we hadn't done Donald, but we were off, so
Yeah, we were off last week. Donald Sutherland passed away.
Your close personal friend. And really, folks, Stan's had a relationship with Donald Sutherland.
He was a client of ours. It was funny. It was weird to me that, you know, two or three people were like, I thought of you instantly when I heard the news today. I'm like, that's so weird that you thought of me instantly. That's kind of crazy. But yeah, he was a client of ours, and he was always a very polite gentleman. Except the one time that he called me stupid.
Stupid, that's the one thing I remember. I'm so sorry.
He did.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
No. It was the first thing I thought of when he passed away. I'm like, well, he'll never call me stupid again. But you know what? I've said way worse things to people on the phone when I was having a bad day. So I am not going to give him garbage over that. He was usually very polite and very, very gentlemanly.
And... you know,
but a talented fucking actor. I mean, let's not talk about him as a client.
And that's the thing. You know, when I went to his IMDb page, it's amazing how little I actually saw him in. For all of that work. But Donald was always just kind of there for me.
Yeah.
He was always in my celebrity periphery. Mm-hmm. And thought he was so handsome and
yeah, you had
sexy.
A crush on him.
I had a crush on Donald.
Girl, know what? Hang on a second. Let me just pause you right there, because I want to tell you something. I was scrolling through Facebook yesterday or the day before, and just in the last week, I've suddenly become really, like, addicted to, like, Facebook Reels. So I was going through a bunch of Reels, and I found one of Donald Sutherland, and he was doing an interview. He was talking about when he was, like, a young actor, like, in his 20s, like, 22, 23, and he asked his own mother if she thought he was good-looking. And she said that his face had a lot of character. And he cried telling the story, like his eyes filled with tears as he told the story. Like he didn't break down bawling or anything like that. But I mean, his eyes filled with tears as he told that story. And I'm like, well, Donald, I happen to know somebody who thinks you're very handsome. But of course,
Mr. Jennings, I think it was Mr. Jennings in Animal House. I mean, the evil professor that everyone loved. Ordinary People, my God.
Favorite. That's
my
favorite.
God, what a performance.
I love Ordinary
Just
People and him in it especially.
Amazing. I thought he was in the movie The Man Who Fell to Earth with David Bowie. Apparently he wasn't. I've got to go out later and see who was the lead in that movie.
MASH, another great
vegan. And then I found out, I had totally forgotten about this. You know, when I was doing my, like, 5-year sojourn to see every Alan F. Arkin movie made, the movie he made and directed, Little Murders, I had totally forgotten Donald Sutherland had a part in that.
Okay. In Little
Murders. He worked with Alan F.
All right. That's good.
But just, like I said, he was always there for me, and he was just so handsome and commanding.
Yeah.
And loved his voice. Oh, beautiful eyes. Beautiful mouth. Voice too. But yeah. His voice of, oh, Donald. And you gave us Kiefer.
Kiefer, that's true. Kiefer,
He was gone back and forth, but certainly a handsome man, just like his dad.
I'll always remember Kiefer just for, I was going to say Lost Boys, but it isn't Lost Boys, it's Stand By Me. Stand By Me is like my favorite Kiefer Sutherland role. He's so good in that he's the bad boy. So Donald, rest in peace.
Yes.
Fine actor.
And you know, the reason he was so nice, Canadian.
Yep, Canadian. Still lived in Canada most of the time. He lived right across the border from Vermont. And it was great because we used to ship stuff to this little post office right on the edge of Vermont so that we could ship, so we didn't have to ship internationally. And then he would drive down over the border and pick it up and bring it back home.
We need more Canadian viewers. How do we do that?
Yeah, how do we get more Canadian listeners? Come on.
Can we call Justin Trudeau? And
pass it on. You know. Yeah, pass it on to all your favorite Canadian friends, you guys. And then also, speaking of Canadians, isn't Martin Mull Canadian also? Or am I wrong about that?
Oh, I don't know, because
Martin Mull also passed away just yesterday.
Oh, Martin Mull, my God. That
now I am going to have to look him up just to see if he's Canadian. No, it says American actor and comedian.
Well, so because, you know, there's something I have to say, and I wondered, I don't know, but I wondered if he was from a certain city. But
he's from Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, so no. Illinois. There's the short answer. Yeah. But I know Martin Mull. My sister and I discovered him for some, and probably dueling tubas on the radio. But we discovered him and bought his albums, and the songs just cracked us up. And the song, the albums were mostly live, so you would get his wonderful narrative before you got the funny song. But then he started showing up as an actor and a comedian and all kinds of stuff. He just rocked.
Yeah. Now, I'm completely unfamiliar with his music career. I didn't even know, really, that he was a musician or a songwriter. How we got started.
Our absolute favorites. The one I posted on Facebook last night, Licks Off of Records.
Yeah.
He's wooing a girl, but he's just playing Licks Off of Records that he heard.
Yeah.
And then there is Living Above My Station, which is about a man who lives above his gas station.
Above his actual station. Okay.
And then one of the, titles, Noses Run in My Family. I like that one.
That's good. That's a good title.
Then the ever popular, I've played some shitholes, baby, but none like this.
Nice. What I remember about him is he was always on TV. He was always in the movies. He's in everything. He's in Clue. He's in Fernwood Tonight, as you mentioned, but he was on Taxi. He was on Golden Girls. He was on Roseanne for a really long time, actually. He's a recurring character on Roseanne. Her boss. He was in Mr. Mom. He was in Arrested Development. I'd forgotten he was in Arrested Development. He was just always on TV and in the best possible way. Not like some of these assholes where you're like, oh, this fucking guy again. It was always like, oh, yay, Martin Mull. It's just crazy. It's kind of like what you said about Donald. It was just like he was always there. It's just weird to think of the world without him in it.
And if I can tell you this story, I told Sten earlier, I had a story that she may or may not remember because I learned about this from his appearances on Letterman. Martin Mull happened to be the biggest Cleveland Browns fan ever. And he also loved kicking field goals. And at his house in Los Angeles, there was a football field nearby, and he would take like a big canvas bag full of footballs and just kick, 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 and kick.
Really?
Field goal.
Wow. Yes.
And he even got, I have something queued up. He even tried to kick a 20-yard field goal at a Cleveland Browns game. And he said he said it was amazing. I was with the team, the two teams. They even called a timeout to make me think about it. he said they gave me jersey number 38, the one worn by Sam Baker, the worst kicker the Browns ever had. That way I had no expectations to live up to. And he did. He barely made it, but he did make the field goal.
Good for him.
But he had a goal and a dream and a...
That's amazing.
To every year on his birthday, right after his birthday, he would try to kick a field goal of his age.
Oh, wow.
So when he turned 46, he kicked a 47-yard field goal.
Wow.
And he said he was going to try it until he was 64.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if he ever got there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wonder what the last one was that he completed.
But just, I just, what a great thing for a guy to do.
I never knew that. That's a great story. I'm so glad you told it. I love that story. That is a really cool thing, especially that he went and actually kicked a field goal for the Browns.
Yes.
I'm sure the Browns were like, well, fuck it. You know, we don't really have any good players anyway. We might as well have Martin Mull.
Right.
Well, rest in peace, Martin Mull and Donald
Sutherland. And Donald, we
love you. Both
of
you brought so much joy into the world. Thank you so much. We'll do shout outs now. A second ago in my brain, I was thinking we were going straight on into binge watches, but we have some shout outs first.
Yeah.
We'll start over on hucklebug.com where we have a shout out for Tina.
Tina!
Stand in the place where you live.
Now leave us a comment. She did. She says, congratulations on your 700th episode.
Thank you so much.
Hated Andrew McCarthy.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
What does he expect when he plays a character called Blaine? Say no more.
That's
say
a major
no
appliance. That's not a name. That's what Ducky
says. But she
says
her daughter, Chloe, loved The Breakfast Club. I'm so sorry. And all those films, so we'll recommend Bratz to her. Yeah, it's a great watch. It really is.
How can you hate Andrew McCarthy? Do you not see him smile? He has one of the best smiles in all of Hollywood, I think. Honestly, he has a great smile. I love his smile.
She said, says All or Nothing would be called a social realism film. Mm, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love Timothy Spall, as do I, but always in these types of, was a Mike Lee player and no mistake.
Yeah, very much so. But you know, I think a lot of that has to do with his look. He's not really going to be cast in a lot of like leading roles.
Yeah, he's not.
Right.
Sorry,
it's just the way it is. I don't mean to be a dick about it. I'm not trying to be a jerk,
but a great actor he is.
He was in all the Harry Potters, I think.
I think I've only seen one Harry Potter, and I don't get it, so it's okay. Yeah. Don't dislike it. Just don't get it. She says James Corden was in Gavin and Stacey.
Yeah, sorry. I realized that shortly after I said it. Ned and Stacey is an American TV sitcom with Thomas Hayden Church and some lady. And Gavin and Stacey is a British sitcom.
I want to say Deborah Messing for some reason.
Deborah Messing sounds right to me also. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. And then Gavin and Stacey was a British sitcom with James Corden. And again, some lady playing Stacey. I don't I don't know who the ladies are.
But she also says, Bet, I have a little something to send you for Milo. You will get it eventually. That is so beautiful. You know, is there anything better? I mean, a surprise in the mail is great. But a surprise in the mail from overseas.
From overseas.
Can you imagine how I'll freak out when that comes?
Yeah, because by the time it shows up
on the envelope, oh my God.
And by the time it shows up, you'll have forgotten completely that she's sending it.
That it was coming.
It will be a surprise again.
I'll be expecting a bill, and there it will be.
She says, love the harmonica, Stenny. You can actually play a little bit. I taught myself a little when I was younger. She says, I am like you both. I get up early, normally around 6:10 a.m.
Oh, I'm not that early.
That's super early. That's earlier than both of us. So I can sit and have a cup of tea in peace before I get ready for work. Yeah, I need like a half hour just to warm up before I can go to work. Shay, my husband, says it's our bodies telling us when we have less time to live. Right. So making the most of the time. Oh, that's fun. She says, you both rule. Big hugs to you both, as it's been a tough week. Surely it has been.
Yes,
bye for now.
She'll be
Thank
back.
You so much. Appreciate
we love you,
it.
Tina.
We do. She has another, she left us another tiny comment under the episode on Facebook.
Yes.
Because I put a note here saying, spot a young James Corden in his in this trailer from Mike Lee's All or Nothing. And Tina says, yes, I remember this. Miserable, but it says inferring. We think maybe you meant interesting. Miserable but interesting, which I said is a decent, you know, short review of all of Mike Lee's films. Miserable but interesting. Let us move back up to our final shout out of the week.
Who is for
Kelly?
Kelly!
I love this picture, man. That's so great.
Oh, I know. And I am so happy to tell you a little something after I read her comment.
Yeah.
Which is, she says, thanks for the compliment on my graduation regalia. Mm-hmm. Miss you bunches. Oh, I miss you too. Can't believe that it was 17 years ago that we left.
That's crazy.
SF, I'm San Francisco, has a giant pride laser rainbow that that would be Irvin,
the cute,
can see out his window this weekend. Happy Pride Month, everyone. Yes, happy
Pride.
Woo! I love working in a place where we had a drag queen bingo last week.
Wow, drag queen bingo. Wait, does that mean only drag queens can compete? Or does it mean that drag queens are doing the calling? Or what's
just... Or the thing on the card could have to do with drag queen.
Maybe. Somebody tell us. I need more details on this whole drag queen bingo thing, please. And then the picture, you guys, seriously, everybody goes to the Huckabuck.
That beautiful laser pin.
The laser rainbow is outstanding.
But Kelly with an IE, I've got to tell you something. Well, I'm telling everybody, but it's Kelly with an IE. I just emailed, after the missive, emailed Stens and said, I'm sitting here watching the men's gymnastics Olympic trials, and there is a kid competing who reminds me so much of Irvin.
Yes.
He's cute as can be, haircut, brown haircut, just like Irvin's, wears the black glasses, the black square glasses. Mm-hmm. Although when he competes, he takes the glasses off. And I think that's got to be kind of hard.
A handicap.
Right.
He's giving himself a handicap.
And I will tell you tonight, they announced the team and he made it. His name is Steven Nadorsik, I think.
Steven Nadorsik. All right. Everybody root for him.
So he's going to Paris. He's going to be on the team. And we have somebody to root for in the Olympics.
Yay!
Irvin's doppelganger.
All right. Congratulations to Irvin's doppelganger.
Yay!
I look forward to seeing him in the Olympics. Thank you guys for your shout outs. We appreciate
you.
And thank you for hanging with us. I know we were off last week. We're going to be off next week as well because I'm going to be at Dad's. But after that, I think we should be pretty well on schedule for a bit anyway. Let us move on with our show here. I have a binge watch.
Yes.
And actually, I started watching this, I think right after we finished recording the last Taco Bug. So started watching it two Saturdays ago. And then I watched, I think, the rest of it a little later in the week, In Restless Dreams. Thank you so much, Beth, for the recommendation.
Yes!
This is the documentary that's on Prime on Paul Simon.
It's long, but worth it.
It is long. It's in two parts. Each part is at least 2 hours long, maybe even a little bit more. I'll tell you, the second one started to kind of slow down a little bit for me. I found the first one a lot more engaging. But what I liked most about it was just watching him go through his creative process and hearing that you know this whole album, the Seven Psalms, that almost the lyrics almost entirely came to him through dreams, which I just found fascinating. But you know, just watching him walk around his studio and like picking up little sticks and click 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 click, and then hitting a couple of notes on a synthesizer, and then walking over and picking up, you know, a little
bell.
Maracas,
the
bells. Ding, 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 ding. Just fascinating. I loved all of that.
Yeah. And talking about all of the weird international influences
mm-hmm.
that were coming in during Simon and Garfunkel that we had no right. idea of.
No, we didn't know about that stuff at all back then. I don't know, it was nice to get a little extra perspective on Simon and Garfunkel and you know how they came to be, but also kind of how they split up. It's a little sad, I think.
Yeah,
that they're not really friends anymore since they've known each other since they were little boys, you know. And it's
yeah, I don't think that they're friends anymore, but I think they can kind of live with each other.
They can live with each other.
Otherwise, art wouldn't have contributed some voice.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
But there is that weird scene where he and Edie are sitting in the chairs of a theater, and she says something kind of weird about art, like, well, he didn't do this, or he, you were better at him. It was very strange to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was interesting also, because I have always suspected that Paul is just jealous of Artie's voice. Mm-hmm. And that was basically confirmed because Paul's own mother said, you know, Paul, you have a fine voice, but Arthur has, you know, an angelic voice.
Yes.
It's true. I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, honestly, the greatest gift Paul could have been given was a voice like Art's to sing his songs. Yes. So, I mean, I think they both got what they needed out of the relationship. It's a shame yeah. that they just couldn't make things work.
And you know, when you see Paul sit down and he starts a song with the first line, and you think, my God, what a first line. And then yeah. you go down and write the lyrics of a song that will just blow your friggin' mind.
Yeah. And the other thing is that I'm not sure I ever really realized that their first hit was Sound of Silence. Like, that's starting at the top, you know? I mean, like, where do you go from there? But you know, other artists, if Sound of Silence was the very first thing you released, you would never get anywhere near it. And he's been near it multiple times, maybe surpassed it for a few people.
And
it,
you know,
really made me go out and listen to more Simon and Garfunkel. I haven't listened to enough Simon and Garfunkel in my life. I haven't listened to enough Paul Simon.
And listening to the 60s as I have transitioned to
right.
They play the Sound of Silence a lot, but they play The Boxer, which that song just blows me away.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful song.
I mean, not only the lyrics and the melody, but the harmonies.
Yeah, and all the canon, you know, or whatever it is at the end, that loud thing, and the huge orchestra that comes in towards the end. I mean, it's brilliant.
But yeah, and I love, like I said, when I watched it, you know, that he got into that space in the 70s where he was kind of a celebrity for being a celebrity.
Yeah, he just was in the right place at the right time.
I am so glad he left that and went.
Oh, I am too.
Or maybe it left him. I don't know.
Well, One Trick Pony was probably the best thing that could have happened to him.
Exactly.
Flopping as bad as that, because that kind of made him take some time off. And then he bounces back with with the genius that is Graceland.
No less a person than Alan F. Arkin himself once said, failure is the great teacher. I think it was in this case.
It's totally true. It's totally true. So just fascinating to watch. Strongly recommend In Restless Dreams, just as Bette.
Yes.
Did. And Bette, what is your movie?
Well, I have a movie.
Woohoo.
And Old Stands.
Yes.
Well, some 18 months after the Oscars, trying to still catch up on movies, I finally got there.
Okay.
And you know, Alexander Payne, I have a love-hate relationship with him.
I do know
he's made movies that I hate, like Election.
Yeah, I love
he's
Election.
Made movies that I loved, like Nebraska. But I went to watch his Oscar-nominated movie from this past year, The Holdovers.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet.
I cannot tell you how much I love this movie.
Okay, good. You loved it. All right, good.
It is fantastic.
Wow, all right.
And it stars Paul Giamatti from Sideways.
Yep, I knew that.
Sideways, a movie of Alexander's I was about. Most people loved it.
I liked it. I thought it was okay. I really liked Thomas. Speaking of Thomas Hayden Church, I really liked him, and I thought he was a revelation in that. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that guy can act. I didn't realize that. I'd only seen him in Wings prior to that.
But Paul Giamatti is a teacher at an exclusive boys' boarding school. Mm-hmm. He was drafted into service, staying at the school. Really, but he had nowhere else to go anyway. So, you know, where could he go? He was babysitting the holdovers, which are the kids who can't go home for Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
And so it's about him and the boys and the cafeteria manager, who, of course, they have to eat, so she has to cook for them. And a janitor comes in from time to time to, you know, mop the floors and stuff.
Right.
But it is just about like a 2 week and a half period of all of these kids' life and his life. It is just fantastic.
All right. And it's on Hulu or something? I have seen it.
I saw it on Amazon Prime.
Is it on Prime? Okay.
Free.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's. I know it's on one of my streams.
I would have had to have paid $6 for it, but it's free now.
I have so many damn streaming services. I'm paying for so much. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what I'm paying for. But I can see whatever I want whenever I want it, basically. So.
But everyone in it is wonderful. Okay. But Paul is just fantastic. He is the most loathsome teacher. Everybody hates him.
Of course.
And you might still hate him at the end, but you might like him a little bit. It's great, great, great. The Holdovers, fantastic. Thumbs up.
All right. Thumbs up for The Holdovers and thumbs up for In Restless Dreams. Excellent. Good to know. I have a video of the week.
Yes.
Very short. It just randomly showed up in my YouTube recommendations. So I thought, well, this looks cute. I'll watch it. It's a 5-minute animated short film called Destiny.
And first of all, the animation is great.
Yeah, it's really good animation. It's
amongst other things.
It's very cute the way it's drawn. It's directed by a filmmaker named Fabian Weibel, or probably pronounced Weibel.
Weibel.
It's 11 years old. My first thought was that maybe it showed up on my YouTube recommendations because maybe it had gotten some Oscar buzz or something this year.
Wow, 11 years old.
It's 11 years old, so I don't think it would have gotten any Oscar buzz this year.
I had no idea.
Never heard of it. I don't know why it was recommended to me. Although now, because I liked it, because I watched it and enjoyed it and clicked the little, you know, thumbs up button on it. Now YouTube's recommending a ton of like animated short films to me. And I'm like, no, I just really like this one. That doesn't mean that's what I want to watch all the time. Anyway, it's really good. It's short. It's only 5 minutes long. And it's like a mini Groundhog Day story.
Right, exactly. Like I said, this movie was made for you.
It really was. It really was.
I know
this
what
guy just
like.
Keeps waking up and moving on with his life, but kind of how he keeps getting stopped. But it's a delight. It's quite short, so I recommend it. I'll leave a link for it.
Yeah, she gave me a preview. I can totally thumbs up it as well.
And again, you know, it's only 5 minutes. 5 minutes out of your life. You got to have that time. If you don't have that time, then I just don't even know.
When you're having your morning coffee. Just
there you go. Have your morning coffee. Watch it. You can watch it on your phone if you want to. It's just short and little.
Yeah.
What do you have for us next,
Beth? Well, I have something called Let's Talk About Bet, Baby.
Let's talk about you and me. Except for just and, you.
And I'm so sorry. I keep talking about myself, but this has been
I think you should talk about yourself.
Ongoing thing for so long. And I told you about going out to have the knee x-ray where I had to get on the table and I thought I'd die and it hurt. And then I pulled the muscle in my hip,
gut,
whatever. And it has just been so horrible.
Yes.
That at one point last week, I was trying to shred some papers, which happens in the very back office. Yeah. And my sister actually heard me groaning and maybe said, you got to do something about yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And I talked to the therapist about it and we had decided maybe it was time to go back to Dr. Ass Massage.
Right.
Well, let me tell you people, but I did learn that Advil, which I've always been afraid to take because apparently hurts your tummy. But
well,
I have
you have too much of it.
That if you get over yourself and take some Advil, that kind of alleviates the pain. So I've been living on Advil.
Yeah, it's a pain.
But coming into work Monday was not fun.
Mm-hmm.
When I left work Monday, I got up, you know, with my cane, of course.
Yeah.
And I was walking out and I thought, oh my God, I feel pretty good.
I was walking
down the hallway. I walked outside, got in the car, drove around, came back inside. I felt good.
You're cured.
Then the next morning, you know, getting up, you know, always with a cane and a scream. Yeah. I got up with a cane, but no scream.
No scream, okay.
And then, I have to tell you, the Tuesday when I came in feeling good, mm-hmm. I told the girls that. And my sister actually said, you know, I didn't want to jinx you, but I saw you walking out yesterday and you were walking so good.
That's good. Yeah.
So it's been going on all week. I still feel really good. I'm still popping Advil. I'm doing all of the Dr. S massage stretches and crunches and leg things that he told me. And I don't know what I did or didn't do to make all of that pain go away. And the thing of it is, when you've been in that much pain and then you start feeling better, it messes with your mind because you're thinking the shoe will drop.
That's right. I know exactly what you mean.
Will I sit harder on one cheek than the other?
It's all going to go away. All of a sudden, it's going to come right back.
Yep, you know. But right now, people, I'm in a holding pattern and the state of bet is good right now.
All right. That's good. I'm glad to hear
it. Which I wanted to say because you've heard me piss and moan so much.
Well, I am glad to hear that this is a happy update.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the sad ones. I prefer the happy ones. I have a pet story.
Meow, 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 meow. I want to hear some pet stories. Meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow. It does seem a little bit like since Milo died, I've had a pet story every single time since then, which is terrible. I feel like I'm rubbing your nose in it a little bit. Like, I have a pet story.
We'll touch on that later. So.
Okay. But this pet story is not about either of my cats.
Ooh.
This pet story is about my elephant.
Oh, your adopted elephant.
My adopted elephant. So I'm just going to, a little backstory for everybody who maybe doesn't know.
Is an elephant's mother.
I do. I have an elephant. I have a pet elephant. Not a pet elephant. I have an orphaned elephant that I adopted. About 4 years ago, I found this charity called Sheldrick Wildlife Reserve, and they do great work for elephants in Africa. And one of the things that they do is that they rescue orphaned elephants, especially little baby ones, you know, and then they raise them in a small herd of orphans because elephants are very social creatures. So they'll raise them all together, and then as they get older, the elephants move to different parts of, like, their facility. They have, like, a nursery unit where, like, the little baby elephants are, and they all live together.
They're tagged, so you know.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's not just that. I mean, like, they live in these stockades, and the keepers have daily interactions with them, so you know everything that's going on with every single one of your elephants that's there. And you can adopt the one I chose to adopt. Her name is Sagala, and I chose her because she's the same birthday as me. Her birthday is September 30th. So, and Sagala was living in what was called the reintegration unit because she's a bit of an older elephant, and their facility is right up at the edge of a national park in Kenya, and which has wild elephant herds that come through all the time. And so the orphans that live in the reintegration unit, they have lots of interaction with wild elephants, elephants in the wild, and that's how they eventually will move on and join a wild elephant herd. So I get monthly updates from Sheldrick Wildlife Reserve with a diary, the elephant diaries, the keeper's diaries, where they basically tell you everything that was going on the previous month. So I sit down last week or the week before to read the diaries for May. And the very first entry is, the big news is that Sagala returned. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, what? And I realized that I had completely missed April's updates. So I went back and read April's diaries. Well, Sagala had a very busy April.
Oh, dear.
Sagala, first of all, has been hanging out more and more with some of the older ex-orphans. This is the other thing about the, about, you know, elephants never forget and stuff, as you guys probably know. So a lot of the ex-orphans that were raised by the keepers, they come back to visit all the time. And a lot of times they'll bring their babies. They'll go, hi, keeper. This is the baby I had. Thank you for saving my life so I could have another baby. Right? So that happens all the time. And Sagala's been, for the last 6 months or so, I've noticed that a lot of the updates about Sagala have talked about how very interested she is when the wild herds bring baby elephants around. She's got to go touch those babies. What's going on with the little babies?
Does she want a baby of her own?
I think she wants a baby of her own because this is what happened, Bet. She took up with an ex-orphan, a male ex-orphan elephant, a bull named Lykipia. And the two of them mated. And now Sagala has gone off and joined a different herd. And she's living in the wild. And they think she might be pregnant. But I won't get to meet her baby for 2 years because that's how long an elephant carries a baby.
Oh, man.
2 years. But, sounds like Sagala is all grown up and she has moved out on her own. She's living out in the wild again. She has a boyfriend. She might have a bun in the oven.
Exactly. It's been without the benefit of marriage, she is, in fact, pregnant.
She is, in fact, pregnant. Well, that's all right. You know, elephants have their own little, who knows? They have their own little marriage rituals, I suppose. But it's very exciting. I'm super proud and happy for Sagala.
Oh, I can only imagine how great that is.
And the next time my renewal rolls around, I might choose a different orphan to get updates on, because I'm probably not going to get any more updates on Sagala except for when she occasionally comes by to visit. So, but that's my pet story.
But no, you have to. You have to know if she comes back with a baby.
Of course, I'm going to always pay attention to the diaries and see if Sagala comes back for a visit with her little baby. God, that would be very exciting to have to find out in 2 months that Sagala came back for a visit and brought her baby with her.
Did you just hear my buzzer go off from the top?
No, I didn't.
It kind of went.
Okay. Yeah. That's so weird, though. Mine went off like 4 minutes ago. Why were they so different?
I have no idea.
That's so crazy. Anyway, so there's my pet story. Let's do our you rules.
Yeah, I have two you rules.
Yeah.
And the first one is to Todd, my online therapist.
Yes, Todd. Good old Todd.
And boy, can I recommend online therapy to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have to look at them when you're confessing everything. But you don't get to look at them to see if while you're confessing everything, they're just doodling on a pad.
Right.
They've zoned out or whatever.
Yeah.
But when I talk to Todd, he's always there with an answer that's so nice and encouraging. And so our Tuesday, I hadn't seen him since the passing of my boy.
Yeah.
So this past Tuesday, we started with my feeling so much better. And he was over the moon that, you know, we don't have to worry about Dr. Ass Massage anymore.
Right.
But then I decided to get dark and dank.
Yeah.
And I promised you people.
He needs to know.
Well, true. And I promise you people, this is not going to be a running narrative. I'm not going to talk about Milo every week. It's still the waves of grief for my life come and go. They're like ebb and tide.
Right.
You know, you're fine and then you're not.
Yes.
And as we talked about losing a pet in the way that I did, I'd never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always that doubt. There's always the things I think about, you know, did Milo know? Was he ready?
Yeah.
Stupid? Was I mean?
No.
Everyone in the world tells me I'm not.
Right.
But it eats at you.
Yeah.
He let me just pour my heart out.
Yeah.
And he was there understanding that a person who loses a pet is just like a person.
It's a family member.
Yes. And he is just so nice. And thank you, Todd.
Yes. Thank you, Todd.
My second year rule, though, is a little happier.
Good.
And it is to Bobby. And that would be B-O-B-B-I-E.
Okay.
Named after her dad, Bob.
Uh-huh.
And she is the company I work for agent in a neighboring town. Mm-hmm. And Pat and I have known her forever, back when our dads were agents. And so Pat and Bobby are now agents. And we have kind of a running joke that when any holiday comes, we see the caller ID come up and it's from Bobby. And we say, aha, she wants to know if we're going to close, you know. Right. So we pick up the phone. And so she had a conversation with Pat about July 4th. Uh-huh. And Pat said, well, we're just going to close for the 4th. You know, it's one day. It's on a Thursday. You know,
yeah.
We'll close. And she said, well, I've been thinking, and I think I'm going to canvass all of the agents in the area to see if they're going to close on the 4th and 5th.
Yeah.
And then have the weekend. And Pat said, well, do that and let me know.
Right.
So she calls back and she says, it's a consensus. There's strength in numbers.
Yep.
Everybody here is going to close on the 4th and the 5th.
Close on the 5th.
And Pat was all over it. So thank you, Bobby.
Yay.
I've got a 4-day weekend coming.
Congratulations.
You rock.
Nice. Good job, Bobby. Well done. I'm going to give my U rule this week to everybody who came to see Cry It Out, my the Reader's Theater piece that I directed that went up last weekend. That's why we had no show last week, because my show was going on. I want to give, you know, Mish came to see it even though she's been crazy busy with her own show, and she's been sick, and she's got stuff going on in her family and all of this other crap, and she had told me, I'm not going to be able to come and see your show. I'm really sorry. And I was like, I get it. I totally understand. Don't worry about it. But inside I was a little like, oh man, bummer. And like the day of the show, like 2 hours before the show, she texted me and said, I'm going to be there. I will be there.
Yes.
Good news. I'm coming. And you know, bless her heart. She came, Les came, Doug and Lynn were there. Of course, Carrie was there. Marla was there. My friend Danny was there. Jeff Stiglitz was there. Carol Osier, a lot of other people, probably other people that I have not mentioned that I'm not remembering at the moment.
But you told me in an email, you also met some new people who were there.
I did meet some new people who were there.
Which is great. That kind of reminded me of my days in the Sauerkraut Band.
Yeah, there's...
You make new friends all the time.
Of course. There was this one little old couple that was there. They looked like they were probably 90 years old.
Oh, no!
Bless their hearts. They were the very last ones to arrive, and they got there so late that they weren't even able to. It was when we do these Reader's Theater pieces, they're pay what you will. So they have somebody downstairs with some, you know, with a little cash box and whatever you can afford, you know.
And that's a great idea.
Pay exactly. What you will. And so this little old couple that showed up, they got there so late that they had already packed up the money. So they didn't even pay. They just, you know, they came, and I don't know why they didn't come up. They did come up. They came up the elevator, and, you know, we actually held the curtain for them just briefly while we waited for them to come in and get seated. But after the show, they're standing down there in the lobby, and they wouldn't leave. They had a $10 bill, and they're like, we're not leaving until we can pay somebody. So I took their money and gave it to the organizers so that they could. But they were great, and they said they come to every single thing that is ever done at the Theater Guild. They come to everything. They come to all the main stage productions. They come to all of the Reader's Theater pieces. I just thought it was great. So they rule also. Everybody who came out rules. And you know, those of you obviously listening to this who didn't come, obviously you couldn't because you live so far away. So don't worry. You all rule too. I'm sure you would have been there if you could have been. It was fun. So thank you all for that. And next week we're off again.
Well, I just love that you and Mish and Les and Marla and Doug and Lynn and Jeffrey and everybody are such a part of that theater community.
Yeah. Well,
I wish there was one here. I don't know what I could do, but, you know, I just wish there was one here.
There's always something you could do. I mean, they always need, like, ushers and ticket takers and, you know, just people serving coffee at intermission and stuff like that. There's always volunteer opportunities at your local community theater, everybody. If you have one. If you don't have a local community theater, then there might not be any. But if you have one, definitely go down and check them out. You will not be sorry. Theater people are the best people in the world.
Yes.
So that's our show this week. And as I mentioned, we are off next week because I'm going to be out of town and be visiting my sister and my dad for the holiday. Because I also get the 4th and 5th off. Yay!
Yay! And I won't be waving, well, I might be waving the red, white, and blue, but I won't be waving it for what's going on right now.
Oh my goodness, what a clusterfuck we're in.
We are so screwed, people.
I'm so angry at the Democrats, really, I am. I'm so angry at the Democrats, and there's a part of me that's like, that's what you fucking get, you dumbasses.
Well,
except that it affects me too, you know, I mean, it affects all of us.
Well, you know, Pat and I had a great conversation the day after, and I only watched like 10 minutes of the debate, but that's all I could
see. 0 minutes of it.
But when we came out the next morning, she said, roughly 350 million people in this country, and these are the two that we get.
These are the best we could. This is the best we can fucking do.
And then I was thinking of the third candidate, RFK. You know, Junior RFK,
right?
Who? And I said, well, you know, isn't it weird that maybe the other one we vote for is the guy who said publicly that a worm ate his brain?
Exactly.
This is what we have to deal with,
right? Oh my God.
We are so screwed.
We're totally fucked.
As a country, but the Hucklebug is great. So just
the state of the Hucklebug is strong, you guys.
Come and shelter with us. We'll find a way out.
Shelter in place with us. You can't go wrong. Well, we thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Hucklebug, and we will be back the second weekend in July.
Yes.
With our next episode. Till that time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Bye, everybody.
We love you.
Mwah. That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
All right. I have begun the recording.
Okay.
I'm ready with the timer.
I am too.
Are you ready for the countdown?
I am.
Turn off Larry.
Oh, shit.